Everybody to Jenkins Church this morning. I know it's cold, so let's get up, move about, greet our brothers and sisters in Christ for just a few minutes. Getting up and moving sometimes helps warm up, so if you get cold, although I think they've got it plenty warm in here this morning, but if you get cold, just get up and go sit closer to one of your neighbors. Do we have any prayer or praise requests this morning?
Yes, ma'am. Vanna has been, since last Sunday night, suffering contractions way too early, and she's in bed. Hopefully to come this morning, just to kind of play along, but she's been down all week and she hasn't wanted to go that night. Pray for her, the little baby girl, the last option I'm sure that the baby has, and since so far not been affected with body contractions, but the more they continue to. So please, she asked for prayer. While she's asked for that, we pray for her too.
Did everybody hear that? Veta is having contractions way too early, so she's somewhat bedridden right now. Keep her in her prayers.
They found out I had kidney failure. Going in for a four tests.
Okay. We'll keep you in. Anybody else?
No, announcements or prayer concerns? Okay, but can you do another announcement?
Not yet.
Okay.
Sam. All right, Pam is still struggling with bronchitis that keeps relapsing, so let's keep her in our prayers. Anyone else? We will. You all leave?
Saturday.
Sam and anybody traveling with the Grace team will be leaving next Saturday.
15
months. Total of 15 going to Columbia for the, I don't think it's the completion of Hogarth Marsh, but it will be dedicated during this trip. Keep them in your prayers during that. They'll be gone for 2 weeks. Most of them will be there for 2 weeks, so just keep them in your prayers. And that whole project.
Thank you. Teenagers, you need candle lighters if they don't have them.
And, okay, do we have any announcements this morning? Since I skipped right over those.
We'll be meeting at 6.
The youth are meeting at 6 instead of 5. Okay, so here at 6 rather than 5, and dinner will be served? Okay.
Committees. Committees function some years and some years don't, and if committees don't function, somebody else picks up the job. This is an old list. We passed it around 3 or 4 times, but it never got totally around the congregation. So I think it got over here. We're going to start it here in the middle and run it up and down. If you wonder what that committee does, it's on the back, the sucker page. Okay? Russ is house burned last Sunday afternoon. He's been living there 3 months. It's really your granddaddy's house. Been in the family a while, and it's unlivable right now. They're working on it, but Russ had to come back home. You had to come back? That's nice. I'll
pray for Steve and Susan.
But nobody was there, I don't think. If you were, nobody was there, you were, everybody was okay. You were okay. Yeah, okay.
Steve?
This month is our 5th Sunday breakfast. At the end of the month is 5 Sundays in January.
March. Is that right?
March.
Is it March?
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to continue our 5th Sunday breakfast in 2009.
So it will not be.
No, it won't.
Okay.
But if he cooks on the first Sunday, we'll eat, right?
February 15th, right? Grace team will be doing another soup luncheon. It changed from February 8th, so if you put that on your calendars, change it from the 8th to the 15th.
Right. I don't get back to the 7th, and Nancy said she couldn't do it without me. I'm such a good cook. I will give you an update. We had in the bulletin that we made $963.62. I've got another couple donations this morning. We're $1,003.62 profit. Thank you very much.
And that will provide that along with the change of the entire furniture bay room at home.
Well, actually, now that I've got extra donations, I'm going to send $2,000 instead of $1,500. So we're able to furnish a room and $500 towards other construction.
Any other announcements? Let's pause for a moment of silent prayer, preparing our hearts for worshiping God. If everyone would stand and turn to 41 in your hymnal, or it's on the screen, we're going to start with our opening, God is So Good. Gathering words. This is based on Psalms 139. We gather to worship and praise you, O Lord.
No one knows us better than you know us.
Before we rise up in the morning, you know the details of our day.
When we sleep, you already knew the words.
We cannot begin to imagine the wonder of who you are.
You are above us, beyond us, before us, and around us.
We praise you, O God, and offer our hearts to you this day.
We honor and magnify your name, for you are our God.
Amen.
106. Praise Him. Praise Him.
Thanksgiving for your goodness to us. And Lord, we know that you are good. Not only does your word tell us, but we have experienced your goodness. And your word tells us of how good you have been to your people throughout all of creation. And Lord, we experience your goodness in the person of Jesus Christ, and we thank you for sending him into the world to be our Savior, to redeem us unto your kingdom and your heaven. Lord, we thank you that we are not out here in this world alone, but that you know every step that we take, and you know all about us. Lord, you know our needs, and you know our joys. And Lord, we come this morning with thanksgiving for your watch care over us, and we come to offer praise unto you, and thank you for that privilege that you will call us and we can come. Thank you for the freedom of this country where we can come and worship as we believe that you would have us worship. And Lord, where we are amiss, we pray that you would correct us, but forgive us where we have been amiss in our worship. Lord, we just thank you for your watch care and your forgiving love through Jesus Christ. And we offer our prayer in his name, now coming to pray as he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
Now, time that we come to the Lord confessing our sin, Our call to confession comes from Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you'll please join me in unison with our prayer of confession. Almighty God, our strength and our Redeemer, we stand before you today with a strong sense of our inability to be all you have created us to be. We have sinned against you in our thoughts, our deeds, and our desires. There are things we have done we should not have done. And there are things we ought to have done that we did not do. Yet we come to you asking forgiveness for the sake of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Grant that we may go from this place with new strength to serve you in the newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Our words of assurance this morning. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Brother Larry is going to lead us in an inaugural prayer this morning.
Our new president will be inaugurated Tuesday, the 20th. And someone brought to my attention some weeks ago George Washington's prayer at his inaugurations. Didn't say inaugural, did I? And I think you have a copy of it, as is found in, I guess, Google or something. And we printed it, and you can take it with you, and we've instructed throughout the Bible to pray for our country's leaders. And we may have been amiss. I guess I'll go to a church where they'll say, now pray for all your missionaries. And sometimes I say, oh yeah, I've been forgetting to pray for the missionaries. Or pray for your country's leaders. And I say, oh yeah, because I guess much of my praying is for the congregation and my work here. And we need to pray for our country's leaders, our country. And I even searched through the old hymn book that many of you remember, the worship and service hymnal. And in the back section of that, there are many prayers recorded for the nation. And so let's look at this. And I will read it, and I hope it will be my prayer. And then you can follow along, and it may become your prayer. From tribute to George Washington at his inauguration. Almighty God, we make our earnest prayer that thou wilt keep the United States in thy holy protection, that thou wilt incline the hearts of the citizens to cultivate a spirit of subordination and obedience to government, and entertain a brotherly affection and love for one another and to their fellow citizens of the United States at large. And finally, that thou wilt most graciously be pleased to dispose us all to do justice, to love mercy, and to demean ourselves with that charity, humility, and pacific temper of mind which were the characteristics of the divine author of our blessed religion, and without an humble imitation of those examples, in these things we can never hope to be a happy nation. Grant our supplication, we beseech thee, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Turn your hymnals now, if you will, please, to hymn 26. A mighty fortress is our God. Thank you.
offertory sentence this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 26. For the earth and its fullness are the Lord's. Would our ushers please come forward?
God in prayer. Lord God, we are coming again before your throne. We offer thanksgiving for allowing us to benefit from the bounty of your earth. Lord, we come this morning knowing that some people are in economic straits and need a special help. We pray for those who have lost jobs, and we pray for them to be able to find the resources to sustain their life and their family. And where your people need to be helpful and are able to be helpful, Lord, we pray for your guidance if we might do so. Lord, we pray thanking you for this community, this church, outreach opportunities, and your blessing upon our life. Materially, but also, and more especially, spiritually, as you have come to us in the person of Jesus. And we offer our prayer in His name. Amen.
Most of you know that my mother passed away in August, and since that time I spend every Saturday with my dad. He's 90 years old, and his passion has always been the guitar. He's been playing guitar since he was 10, so it's 80 years of guitar playing. But he found another passion, and it's pool. And so on Saturdays, most every Saturday, we go down to where he lives. They have a pool room, and he just beats the snot out of me in pool. But it's fun, and it's our time together. And Dad doesn't see so well, so every now and then, when he goes to hit the cue ball, he just sort of misses, or he'll knock it a little bit, and it goes, you know, 2 inches or something. And I just tell him, I say, oh, Dad, do it again. Just do it again. And I've been looking and thinking about a lot of things, and there's times that I wish I could just do it again. Just have a do-over. I don't know if you felt that way about your life at all. But I know that the only way that we can have any kind of peace is through the victory that we have in Jesus. I read something this week that said, the church is a hospital for Christians, not a museum for saints. And that's how I feel. I feel like I need the hospital, but I'm glad for the mercy of God, that unmerited favor, that even when I wish I could do it over, He loves me anyway. And the only way that we can ever have victory is through Jesus. Victory in Jesus is just one of my favorite songs, but I declare the tempo just wears me out. It's so fast, you don't really hear the words very much. So I'd like to sing that for you. Slow it down a little bit. And just listen to the songs that we truly have our victory. And it is only through the precious grace of Jesus Christ. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning of His precious blood atoning, and I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me, then He bought me with His redeeming love. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Sing the chorus with me. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming love. He loved us there, we knew Him, and all our love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Reading first from 1 Samuel 3, 1 through 10. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. And in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of the Lord was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here am I." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son, I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went back and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you call me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Lord, speak, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." John 1:43-51. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he went to him. He said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." So Jesus answered, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." He then answered, "I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Making a call late Saturday night to read the scripture the next morning. That's what happened, and I appreciate Betty being willing to do that. And others, we're trying to share that experience with the congregation. Hopefully, this coming week, we will remember early enough that we won't wait till late Saturday night. But if I do, I hope you will say, "Okay, thank you." We'll talk about the call of God. And I was driving in this morning and turned to 104.5, and I think I heard the preacher that was speaking just a little bit after 7, telling the congregation, I think he was from Chattanooga, but that he was going to give them opportunity to respond at the end of the sermon. To make a commitment. So, you're going to have an opportunity to make a commitment. Maybe. That's why Kim overlooked, and she caught it, but overlooked the Apostles' Creed. Do we go back? Well, let's maybe think of that time to talk about or think about responding to God's call. Maybe you have experienced God's call for service in His kingdom. Have you? Have you experienced God's call for service in His kingdom? And basically, that's what we're talking about this morning. But I want to say up front, the call to salvation, or to a relationship with Jesus, a faith, a trust relationship with Jesus, seeing Him as Savior. That's the most important call. But then He calls His people, those who trust in Him, to do special things, or to do work in His kingdom. Maybe everybody gives us a gift that we can use for His kingdom. Maybe a short-term, some of your calls may be short-term responsibilities that He has called you to. Others, they may be long-term. I have numerous preacher friends. They said, I'm 65. I'm giving it up. I'm going to do something else the rest of my life. And I can't find anywhere in the Bible that it says He withdrew His call or told them they could work or preach or be faithful till they were 65. And at 65, it is a thing for the United States, ceasing work then, that came back, came about, I believe, in the 1930s. Now, I have never said, to my memory, I have forgotten a few things, that I was going to quit when I was 65, and if they so feel led, I cannot argue at all that God had called them only till they were 65. But I didn't feel that He called me only till I was 65 to be one of His ministers and carry on the work. And most of my preacher friends that retire at 65, they go back pretty quick and take an adjustment in their work schedule. But some people are called to long-term ministry and short-term responsibilities are short-term opportunities. Like, we talk about short-term missionaries that go for a period of time. And if I remember correctly, back in my early days in the church, missionaries went to a foreign country, and that you can only be a missionary if you went out of the United States, in my thinking back then. But they'd go and stay 4 years, and they would come home for a furlough. I think after 4 years, family gets lonesome for you and wants you to come home, and then they would get lonesome for their family, and there was some psychological bit to that decision. But now people go for different periods of time, and I think this would give them opportunity to say, if this is not what I need to be doing, I can make an adjustment after 4 years. God calling you. Get back to that. God calling you. It happened often in the Bible. God calling people to ministry, to various kinds of ministry. Calling people, God calling people to do something for Him and for His kingdom. And today we've read a short passage about two people, or two short passages about two people being called. And actually in the gospel lesson we had more than one being called, but we'll center in, if you will, on Nathanael. One was called to be an Old Testament prophet. As we look back, he didn't know he was an Old Testament prophet, he was just called to be a prophet. And as you read a little further in 1 Samuel, you'll discover that he had some difficult responsibilities to fulfill. He had to tell the one that had raised him, Eli, that his sons were not so favored by God, and that even Eli was not so favored by God because he had not
corrected his sons when they went astray. So he was called to be a prophet, and he had a great influence or great responsibilities in helping, doing God's work in anointing kings for Israel. And then one was called to be one of the 12 disciples. Might inject here that we don't see much of Nathanael after the call. And later, when they list the listing of the disciples, of the apostles, we don't find Nathanael's name, but it's conjecture, it's all it can be, that it was Bartholomew. His other name was Bartholomew. And so if you can't find him later, we think that it was Bartholomew. Sometimes, even oftentimes, people have difficulty understanding God's call. I felt called to the ministry to be a pastor, number one. And, what a difficult time. It might have started, we don't know where it started. I don't. But maybe when I was 10 or 11. And then along the way, there were some incidences. But I was almost 3 years through college. And the claim to be a school teacher or business person or something. And I couldn't shake what I ultimately interpreted with a lot of help from ministers and friends, what was a call to the ministry. It was a difficult time, and others have told similar stories of the difficulty in understanding God's call, to knowing it was God calling. Samuel, you read his story. We don't know how many. Was this one night? Did this experience happen? Story indicates that it might have been or was. But maybe God had spoke to Samuel long ago. But you go back to Samuel's mom. She had dedicated him to the Lord and lived up to her commitment. He had difficulty understanding that it was God who was calling. And even though he had been raised around the temple and around Eli, he said, there's a passage there or a line that says something about he did not yet know the Lord. He says, what verse was that? Samuel did not yet know the Lord. I think it's verse 7. Samuel did not yet know the Lord. And God called him first to know him. Okay? He thought that the voice that he heard was Eli calling, the priest. And Eli had to assist Samuel in understanding that it really was God calling. I did make a note of that one. That's verse 9. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Eli understood. And many young people need to go to a spiritual leader and get guidance. We have biblical evidence, and I've had to, and I'd go to from this one and go to another one, and they needed confirmation, if you will. And then we can move to the New Testament, if you will, Nathanael. It appears to me as I read this, that we just have this short passage, but it appears to me in reading this that Nathanael had a real big problem in responding to Jesus' call to him. He had trouble believing that Jesus was the Messiah. He had trouble believing that anyone from Nazareth could even begin to fulfill Moses' prophecy or the prophecy of the prophets. Philip came and said, "Hey, I met the one that's fulfilling Moses' prophecy. I met the one that's fulfilling the other prophets' prophecy. He's from Nazareth." And Nathanael responded, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" There was a community near us, 15, 20 miles from where I lived, called Buddy Hatchie, close to the Buddy Hatchie River. I don't know why they spelled it Barty, B-A-R-T, Barty Hatchie, and it's so close to the Buddy Hatchie River. But it was rough. And as a teenager, I knew better than to go to Barty Hatchie. Just rough people live there. And we were kind of warned against them, against going there. It might have been a neighborhood rivalry between Bethsaida and Nazareth. You know, New Hope was the other community in our county that had the high school. And there was quite a rivalry. It really wasn't much of a rivalry. They always had the best football team. But it so happened that a student from New Hope was preaching at my church when I responded in my home church to a call to the ministry. Or it might have been something like UT as opposed to the University of Alabama. And some UT fans might say, maybe not really, but might say, can anything good come out of Tuscaloosa or the University of Alabama? Or especially, I've known some that even, one that even moved to Florida, and he still had difficulty believing that Florida football fans at least could be close to God. But I think they were. But As difficult as it was, believing that nothing good could come out of Nazareth, at Philip's insistence, or Philip's urging, or invitation, Nathanael did go and see Jesus. And as you read what Jesus told Nathanael, it's amazing. And it amazed Nathanael. Jesus amazed him with what he told him about what he knew about him. As I read this, you know, Jesus could say, well, if he don't want to serve me, I don't want him. But Jesus cared more for Nathanael than we might. He saw the potential, I believe. And he did not give up quickly or give up easily. He didn't beg him, didn't plead with him. But he invited him and told all about him. And Nathanael became a believer. See, he was a non-believer. He couldn't believe that anybody good or anything good could come out of Nazareth. He met Jesus, though. And just about that quick. So it seems as we read this, just about that quick he became a believer. Because Jesus told him things that has with Jesus knowing. He'd been sitting under a fig tree. Jesus told him all about it. Said, I saw you back there. And that's where he had been. Wow. And he became a believer. That's verse 49. When God calls. We've talked about Samuel. We've talked about Nathanael. When God's call, or when God calls, I grew up hearing about God's call and God's call preachers and people would say of them they were not God called preachers. And I still remember going to a community service down at Kirkland under a tent, and it was sponsored by a group of black churches or Afro-American churches predominantly. And one night I went and I preached, and another preacher preached, and another preacher preached. I think we had three sermons that night, and a bunch of singing, and most of the people there were, I guess I was the only white person there. But I remember one young man, he was we call a tent-making preacher. He got up to preach, and he would really get to going, and he'd get to running real fast in his preaching with his words, and then he'd stop. He would just stop. He didn't know what else to say. That's one good reason I'd bring notes to the pulpit. I didn't want to get up here and be blank. And the people in the congregation, the women especially, they would say, "That's all right. That's all right. It'll come. It'll come. That's all right. It'll come. It'll come." So he'd take off again. It would come, and he'd take off again. And he'd preach and preach and preach, and then he'd forget again. Say all he had to hold in his mind, I guess, and get there and stop again. And those women in that congregation, they'd say, "That's all right. That's all right. It'll come. It'll come." And it would. And he'd go again. Well, I sat there and I thought, if that was a white church, I know what they'd say. Those white ladies, what would they say, Louise? "He wasn't called by God. God didn't call him." Even if you didn't stop, if you didn't say what they wanted you to say, they'd say, "That's a nice little talk." How many times did I hear that? "That's a nice little talk." And I'd think, never would tell them, I'd say, "Well, folks, that was a sermon." But they'd say, "That's a nice little talk." And what they were saying, "We don't believe God called you, but they hadn't been with me when the experience happened." Okay, when the experience has happened. Anyhow, so but I grew up thinking God only called preachers. Just preachers to be preachers, pastors and preachers. And then we moved from, I don't guess we moved, but I finally went off to a Christian college and learned that God called college professors and seminary professors, and believe that he does call them, though some people question that. Please don't. There's some God call people in the seminaries. There may be some that's not, but that's their problem. It's not mine, okay. But he called preachers, maybe missionaries that went off and stayed there 4 years, and maybe a Christian college professor or a seminary professor. And that was about it. And if you did not feel called to one of these, well, it wasn't a call. It must have been something else. But in my lifetime, I have seen that change in my time of ministry. Early on, though, I heard about God calling people to a particular work that wasn't in the church ministry. He might call somebody to be an engineer. He might call somebody to be a construction person. He might call somebody else to be a farmer. And slowly, I saw the church change or begin to be serious about God calling people to a work other than that of preacher. And now we talk openly about God calling people to many works, a teacher. And Melanie Stout, they felt called to be a teacher. And my daughter Elizabeth, I kept saying, "Do you really want to be a teacher?" She says, "Daddy, I'm called. Daddy, I'm called." And if she's called, she's got to do it. Betty Mosley. Betty felt called to be a teacher. Call to be a teacher. CE director, youth worker, senior adult minister, or a minister that works with senior adults. Recreation ministers in the church. And many now who come to the committee on the ministry will say that they don't know what they're being called to. But they know that God is calling them through Jesus Christ and through the working of the Holy Spirit and calling them to some kind of ministry for His kingdom. People called in the Bible. Moses was called. He was called to lead the people from slavery to freedom. He wasn't called to necessarily be a preacher. That was not all that he was called to. David was called to be the king of Israel. Isaiah was called to be a prophet to speak for God. But when was he called? We might need to consider that. He was called when he was in the temple worshiping God. Jeremiah was called to be a prophet, but he was called even before he was born, while he was still in his mother's womb. Jonah was called to be a preacher, but to a foreign city that he didn't want to go to, and at first he refused to go. Amos was a dresser of sycamore trees. We call him a pulpwood hauler now. I guess that's the best I can relate to it, but you don't know much about pulpwood haulers in this part of the country, do you? Mississippi pine trees, it's one of the hardest jobs out there. Dirty, in the woods all the time, and doesn't pay very much. Then there was Gideon. Gideon was called to lead the people in battle. Deborah, some women were called. Deborah to be the prophetess. Then there was Mary. Mary was called to be the mother of the Savior. And then there was many more. The twelve. Peter became an outstanding preacher, but Andrew worked the crowd in a good way. He found food for them out in the crowd. We don't have any record of him preaching. We don't say he didn't preach. And then there was John. John did a lot, but one of the things he was called to was to write a gospel. Matthew wrote a gospel. Stephen was called to be a deacon. God called him to be a deacon, but he was also a great preacher. He caused him to get killed. Those listeners didn't like it, so they stoned him to death. But he became a martyr. Paul was called to be a preacher. Timothy was called to be a preacher and a church administrator. Zacchaeus. We think he went back to the tax table, but he was a nice tax collector when he went back. Maybe he quit the job. Who knows? He was called to be a Christian. The jailer at Philippi, did he keep in the jail, or did he get a new job? But he was a Christian. He was a believer. He treated the prisoners differently. A variety of responsibilities. That's what God calls us to, all according to our abilities, or according to the gifts that God has given to us. Friends, God is still calling people. He is calling people to salvation. And He is calling people to ministry. We're going to sing. Let's sing verses 1 and 3. It's 3:27. It's a song of Jesus calling. It speaks of calling a person to salvation. A lost sinner, an unsaved sinner, but He also calls redeemed sinners to work in His kingdom. And I can't tell you what He's calling you to. I can help you discover it if you need some help. Or take you to the people who can. But let's sing about it, and maybe you're response would be a public one this morning. 327, sing together verses 1 and 3.